I am not a preacher. I've heard that said on more than one occasion as I have talked to people in the past about different things. And I've heard a lot of preachers say that too before they accepted the call into ministry. And I said it a whole lot when I started feeling that call into the ministry. That, oh Lord, you've got this all wrong. I am not intended to be a preacher. You've got the wrong person. If you only knew what I did growing up, you wouldn't be talking to me about being a preacher. But he didn't give up. So now I invite you to hear the words from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In this passage from Jeremiah that I share this morning, we hear really that defining moment as Jeremiah recognizes his call and his commission with a little bit greater clarity. The Lord, through this conversation, through this vision, has helped him to see and essentially feel his call to be a bearer of the good news. But what you notice in part of the scripture is a good bit of initial denial. Lord, I can't do this. I can't speak. You've got the wrong person. I'm only a boy. Looking for all of these excuses, throwing them out there and saying, not me. Pick somebody else. Jeremiah initially is rejecting this call because he doesn't feel himself worthy to be in the ministry to which he is called. He offers these excuses. He tries to turn away, but the Lord is persistent. The Lord continues to push and push. The Lord is not going to have any of that rejection, nor those excuses that Jeremiah tries to offer. And we see in other places in the scripture, such as with Moses, who attempted to offer all of these excuses. He offered those excuses to try to get out of it, and we see what that got him. We see where Moses ended up serving. We see how timid Timothy was early on, but he was given the confidence to preach and to teach in the face of whatever adversity that he faced. This denial, this rejection, well, it's significant to acknowledge in our own spiritual journeys as well, and in our own submission to God's call. Because face it, brothers and sisters, when we accept a call to go off and serve, to do something different, to participate in a ministry or a mission, well, we're being taken out of our familiar places. We know what it's like to come to church and to sit at the same place each Sunday and to do the same things and to serve on the same committees. But what if you feel that call to do something different? What if you're being asked to do something different? What if God's got a hold on your heart and asking you and encourage you to do something in a different way? Well, it takes us out of those familiar places to which we're used to traveling. I have shared on many occasions how this early rejection and turning away from the call is most every pastor's story. As I go up to school at Duke and I talk to my peers about how we each received our call, beyond a shadow of a doubt, every one of them will say that they rejected it initially, and that it was not something that came into their vision with great clarity up front. And all of them felt unworthy to be led into service for God. And that's not just necessarily serving as a pastor. It's serving in any type of role in the church. How many times have you potentially said, well, I'm not worthy to do that. Or I don't have the experience to do that. Or I don't have the education to do that. Maybe I don't know how to be a chair of the council or a leader of the trustees or a lay leader. Maybe I don't know how to do that. Or I'm not worthy to do that. But the commonality in each of these places, whether it be a pastor's call or a call into laity service, is that God is persistent. And God will not relent when He puts a call in your heart. It might take some time to acknowledge it, but you will eventually be forced to acknowledge it, because God is going to keep that fire going in your heart, that uneasiness in your heart, until you accept what it is that He is calling you to do. Just like He did with Jeremiah. He didn't give up on Jeremiah. He was persistent, and He put the words in Jeremiah's mouth. Last week, we focused on reaching one more for Christ, bringing one more person to church, connecting them with the body, connecting them with Jesus Christ over the course of the next year. We challenged every person, every family, to identify and commit to one person to bring them into a closer relationship with Christ, with hope that they would join the body over the course of the next year. And as I thought about that this week, and in some of the conversations that I have with people, and some time that I've had in prayer and devotion, I give a good deal of thought, and I said, you know what? There are probably people out there that say, but I am not a preacher. I am not a preacher, so I don't know how to connect people to Christ. I'm not a preacher, so it's not my responsibility to connect people to Christ or to get people to join the church. Or perhaps I am not worthy to be the one that offers Christ to another person and causes them to join the church. And if you're saying any of those things, or you know of others that have, then what I would encourage you to do is to hear again the words of Jeremiah that we share this morning. We hear how our God treated Jeremiah and how He prepared him. We hear how Jeremiah put the words, or had the words put into his mouth. As Jeremiah offered those excuses, God put words into his mouth. We also need to recall the Great Commission, where we were called to go out to make disciples. We are charged, as disciples of Christ, to make more disciples. We're charged with going out and living and speaking the word of loving in Christ in all places that we go. You see, God has placed a call on our lives to be a bearer of the good news, to be a bearer of the Word of God. As Methodist people, I remind you that we subscribe to the belief, to the denominational foundation that was established by John Wesley, who illustrated the most vital element of church growth was the laity. Because if you'll recall, in the early Methodist church, the focus was not on a regular service led by ordained elders, but rather on an empowered laity in the community. I mean, the elders made circuits and would show up every so often and preach and handle the sacraments, but the real preaching occurred from the laity in the community who remained there doing the kingdom work. That's the foundation of our church. So what I say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, that in a spiritual sense, each one of you are preachers. Each one of you are ministers of God's word. And even though we say we're not worthy or we do not know how, you are still preachers and ministers of God's word. Because God is going to treat you no different than He did Jeremiah, whom He prepared and put words in his mouth. You see, God knows us. God knows your heart. He formed you, and He prepared us for this very moment. His words to Jeremiah were to go out and to speak to those whom he commanded. And he offered encouragement to Jeremiah. He touched Jeremiah's mouth, put the words in his mouth, the words of truth. And in the past, you probably have heard this cliche saying that makes a lot of sense. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And to illustrate that, let me ask you something. How many people straight out of high school decide to go into the seminary without being called into God's service? I would have never have subjected myself to licensing school and course of study without being called first. And those are ways that God prepares us. And what about those that perhaps are the lay leader or the church council leader or trustees leader or staff parish leader? How many of those really knew what it was that they had to do before they accepted those positions? But then God helped us and helped us along the way. How many missions have we been involved in? Or places that we've been involved in our community that we really knew what we were getting into before we got into it? We just knew that God was calling us to do it. And we did it, and God made a way. God will always make a way. Because the point is that God's grace and God's mercy, well, they are sufficient. They're sufficient for everything that we need in our lives. And our God's going to be with us no matter what. And He will put the words in our mouth. He will put that fire in our hearts. And He will prepare us for that place to which He is calling us. He will prepare us for that place to which He is calling us. So let us remember this as we go out into the circles of life that we travel each day. Because as we do, we have to be prepared to speak. We've got to be prepared to witness. And we have to be prepared to invite. In other words, we have to be prepared to be ministers of the gospel. Because you never really know when that opportunity is going to arise. A few moments ago, I shared one experience that I had this week when I was presenting at a healthcare conference. And during a lunch break, when I was expecting to have some downtime to regroup before I had to speak for another 3 hours that afternoon, I was expecting just to kind of relax, and a young man approached me, wanted to talk about how we deliver compassionate care. And before I knew it, we were talking about our relationship with Jesus Christ and how we can serve God in so many different ways, even if we're not in church. And then I came to realize that this young man was struggling with a call into ministry. So we spent a good deal of time talking. Now, that's not what I was prepared to do that day. I wasn't prepared to do it. But when I saw it, I talked. Whenever I saw it, I shared what I knew. And as I listened to that young man, the words from Jeremiah were ringing true in my head. Because I heard him saying the same things. And I know I'm supposed to preach this word today because all of this has happened this week that I shared a little bit earlier. And this was also one of the lectionary scriptures this week. So it was intended that we have this conversation today. Because this young man's words echo Jeremiah's thoughts. And at the end of the day, I believe that that young man had come to terms with God's call in his life. But unexpected opportunity, that's what it's about. When we talk about making one more for Christ, bringing one more into the body of Christ, bringing one more into membership and attendance of the church, is that unexpected opportunity. It's that conversation that we have. It's not a pressure sale. It's not really going out and being intentional and saying, okay, I got to invite one person to church today. It's about going out and having conversations when those opportunities arise. It's about being compassionate. It's about sharing common interests and letting those common interests lead to a deeper conversation. And perhaps it will lead to a changed life. This is what it means to be a minister. This is what it means to be a preacher and a doer of God's word. Perhaps one of you in here today is struggling with a call into formal ministry. or into some new mission, or into some type of laity service to which you've not been involved in the past? And if so, what I offer you today is encouragement. I also invite you to have conversations with each other and with me, but I offer you the encouragement, the same encouragement that our mighty God offered Jeremiah, the same encouragement that our God offered Timothy, and the same encouragement that our God offered Moses. You see, we each are members of the body of Christ. And as I say this, I remind you of one of the scriptures that we hold true to our hearts, or hold close to our hearts as we go about our ministry. 2 Timothy 4 provides this encouragement. It says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable, convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching." These are the words of truth, brothers and sisters, to which we align. So what I say to you now is that you, as preachers of the word, I now encourage you to go forth and make disciples one more for Jesus Christ. Praise be to God.